Cecilia Rospanti is lab lead at Vaag Future Lab's textile lab in the heart of Amsterdam. She's been changing the colour of textiles for years through all sorts of dyeing processes. For the project Local Colour, she made a map of these processes to see how they hang together. Listen to Cecilia as she takes you through the processes map and reflects on how crafts and sciences can complement each other in such processes.
So this map is a map that looks at color and color sources and all of the processes. In fact, it's actually what we call a processes map. It's not per se trying to be a guide step by step of what to do or like a recipe or anything like that. It's actually trying to show both the complexity, but also the interconnectedness of all the different steps and processes that we take as a natural dyer or as somebody wants to approach this, specifically because everything relates to each other. We're looking at a map tied to Amsterdam, to the Netherlands, of colors that can be found locally here or can be grown locally here. Or could be harvested or collected. Sometimes they're found in a wild and sometimes they're grown in a biolab, for example, like the bacterial dyes, or could be grown in a greenhouse to mimic other conditions. On the left side, you have these six domains, like you have the animal, the bacterial, the botanical, the composite, the fungal, and the mineral. So these are our six starting domains. All the way on the right side, we find what we're going to dye. Where are we going to deposit or bind color to? That means that from the left side, you start to prepare your dye matter. So that goes into all sorts of processes from extraction and releasing color that is present in a plant or in a bacteria. But this is only half of the processes because from the other side, we see actually the textiles or the fibers or the extruded yarns, grown materials that can actually be colored, where colored can be bound to. And they also need to go through a number of different steps, often involving the same type of natural materials that we see on the left side, but yet in a different order. So this map can be read by two directions. They sort of meet in the middle, but sometimes you will find an arrow that you can start from the right side and there is an arrow that emerges back from the left side because we may be using, for example, clay in order to prepare a fiber or a textile in order for it to be dyed in a specific pattern. Or if we look back at historical processes, sometimes minerals and clays could be used for more than thing, specific types of fibers. So you see that arrows actually go mainly from left to right and right to left and meet in the middle, but also interconnect again between different steps, between different materials. So for example, when we look at indigo and different processes of indigo, if you follow the botanical cycle and then the plant and then move into the fresh leaves, towards the bottom of that section, you can actually start to see the process that will lead you to fermenting sucomo and wood coach balls. These are two processes that are very similar and yet slightly different because of the different local traditions. But it's plants that both grow very well here in Amsterdam, here in the Netherlands. And this is why they have been mapped. And what is interesting here is that the practice hasn't changed, right? It's a tradition, it's craftsmanship, it's our intangible heritage knowledge that comes up. And we keep doing the same steps. For a craftsperson, that means hundreds of hours of practice into actually understanding what is happening, and mainly based on their senses, visual input, smell, tangible input. But today, with actually the technologies that we have, we can look back at these processes and use also a base of science, of chemistry, of microbiology to actually look at what is at work in those steps. So, for example, we will see that it's different bacteria acting at different moments of the process. Sometimes it's wild yeast, sometimes it's bacteria that are precursors and actually help certain other steps to happen. This allows us actually to have a deeper look. So the process hasn't actually changed, but our understanding of it has changed. So those basic steps are the same, but how we prepare maybe our textiles with a different mordants and understanding the perfect interaction is not just based on visual practice and tangible practice, but it's also based on understanding how those chemicals, those molecules rearrange themselves into fastening the color. And I'm not saying that one is better than the other. What is interesting, I think, in these kind of traditional processes and the way we look at them in this map is that you both need that practice, that craftsmanship, that experience element. And you can add to that the technology, the science, looking at something under a microscope to deepen your understanding. So they're complementary from one to another.